Say we outnumbered the girls, but. But we don't. Almost. We're even, though. Normally, you and I are outnumbered up here. You know, there are some gifts. You know, you guys were at Christmas time, and everybody looked forward to getting gifts, right? And there are some gifts that are so valuable, they don't have a price. And there was this one little girl named Sue, and she, not grandma. There was one little girl named Sue, and she liked to visit Mrs. Lawrence. Mrs. Lawrence was an elderly lady that lived right nearby her. Mrs. Lawrence always wore this beautiful necklace, and Sue loved it. One day, Sue asked her if she could buy it from Mrs. Lawrence. Mrs. Lawrence said, "Sorry, Sue, I can't sell that. It had been my grandma's, I could never sell it." Well, Sue was very surprised several months later when she got a birthday present. And when she opened the birthday present, she found this necklace. And she was confused because Sue wouldn't sell it to her, but she would give it to her. And that's to help us understand our Bible reading today out of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. It said, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Through Christ you have come to trust in God. And you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory." So you want God's love from him, but we can't buy it. There's no price I can pay to buy God's love. There's no way we can. His love is a gift. It's a gift that we can't buy. But he's given it to us when he sent Jesus through Christmas to be born to come and die for us at Easter. But see, that's not all. See this box Sue got? Mrs. Lawrence gave her this box too. And then not only did she get the necklace, she got the box, and then when she opened up the box, there's a pair of earrings in there too. Right there. So she not only got what she wanted, but she got even more. See, God didn't just send Christ to die for us, but he sent Christ to live with us forever. And that's what we're celebrating at Christmas, that Christ came and was born, and at Easter he died on that cross, but when he did, it allowed us to be with him forever. And all God's people said, amen. See you, kiddos.
I'm going to have you guys stand up for O Come, Emmanuel, because you can hardly get enough breath to sing if you're sitting down. Matthew 1:23 says, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." can sit down, and then we'll sing him right in the manger. Galatians 4, 4 through 5, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to be freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children.
Good morning. Good morning. I'll be reading Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, and to everyone's astonishment. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for sending Jesus. Be with Pastor Todd today as he brings your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Morning, everybody. All right, honestly, who feels like Christmas was actually just last week? And now it's, if you don't know, it's 8 days. 8 days to Christmas Eve, which is on December 24th. It's the same every year. Just like New Year's, that doesn't change either. Well, here we are. We're looking at Luke, and I want to look at how we've had this quiet time in Scripture. So if you don't know, from the book of Malachi, which is the end of the Old Testament, to Matthew, is approximately 400 years of silence. Now, how many parents of teenagers would take 400 years of silence in their house? Yeah, amen. See that? I should get an amen right there. We were talking about that this morning, you know. You preach in some churches and you get amen, preach it, brother, and then you get to congregational churches. Just wait till the day comes when I tell you you have to sit in a different seat. What's the joke? Congregationalists talk about change and they say, what's change? It's funnier if you know what it is. All right, back to my message, which apparently I'm better at. Yeah, Praise God, nobody heard any of that on the live stream, okay? So we have 400 years of silence. And then we have a flurry of activity that happens. We have the prophecy of John the Baptist. We have angels showing up left and right. And we have the world enter a time of swift prophetic fulfillment. In a very short period of time, you have a lot of prophecies from the Old Testament that become fulfilled. And then we come to the appearance of Gabriel to Mary in Nazareth of Galilee. Now, you guys all know Mary was the virgin, and she was waiting to marry Joseph. And they were probably in the midst of planning their wedding feast, which how many of you remember planning your wedding? And that was, your wedding feast was only going to last about 3 to 6 hours, probably. The Jewish wedding feast was about a week. So for all of you that would have relatives there that you don't want to see for more than 3 to 6 hours, you'd have been in trouble. They're planning this week-long celebration of the marriage, and Gabriel shows up. And Gabriel literally changes Mary's life forever. And what I want to do is take a couple of minutes and just look at what Mary possibly discovered in this interaction with the angel Gabriel. And I think we see a couple of things that we can then take away from that to put into our life. And so the first thing that Mary discovered was that God's plans are eternal. Now, I have no doubt that Mary had her own plans, right? We all have our own plans. You probably have your plans for the rest of today. But because you're good Christian people, good Christian men rejoice. We're not planning out our day during the message. We're listening, right? Amen. There you go. Don't lie in church. She had dreams just like every other woman. And at the time, the dream of a Jewish woman would be to find and marry the right man. In this case, for her, it was Joseph. We know Joseph was a good man. And so she thought she had found the right man. She wanted to have children. She wanted to have a home. She hoped her children would someday do or be something really important in the Jewish world. And as she's thinking about this, this angel named Gabriel shows up. And she's told something that I think right away would throw any of us off. So if you look at verse 28 in our reading today, Gabriel appears to her and says, "Greetings." What does he say right after that? "You are highly favored." How many of you would like to have an angel show up in your bedroom and tell you that you are highly favored by God? Yeah. So there's the welcome. I'm assuming it's at night and she's in her room because it's typically the only time you have privacy, right? So she's in her room and Gabriel shows up. Hey there. God really favors you. You've caught his eye. But catch that that's not the only place, because he also says it in verse 30. You have found favor with God. Wow. Twice. In a matter of probably 15 to 30 seconds, Mary is told that God favors her. Now there's the first throwdown for her to... What? I mean, do you guys know, everyone that's been here, you've heard me describe angels. Angels are just... Yeah, I mean, they're like me. Muscles, big. Intimidating, humble. I'm so humble, it's one of my greatest attributes. So there's the angel standing there telling her that she'd favored with God. And he follows up, you being favored with God, oh, by the way, you're going to have a baby. We'll get to the whole what here in a couple of minutes, okay? And not only are you going to have a baby, but that baby is to be the son of the Most High God. Yeah. Don't butcher raising that one, okay? He will be king and reign forever. How'd you like to wake up to that one? You're favored by God. You're going to give birth to the Son of God, who is going to be the king following in the line of David and is going to reign forever. Have a Merry Christmas. I mean, that is a shock to her system. I don't know how many of you have heard the new song by David Crowder called The Red Letters. If you haven't, I highly recommend you listen to the song. And he talks about how when Christ finally came to him, it was a jolt to his bones. Mary just got a jolt to her bones. But what she discovered is that God works on a forever basis. Not today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. He sees everything in the scope of eternity. Not in the scope of tomorrow. Okay, we see it as, here's what I've got to do in the next 9 hours before I go to bed. Here's what I've got to do tomorrow in the 12 to 16 hours that I'm awake. God sees it in eternity. So we need to see our plans and make our plans with eternity in view. Because most of the time, if I'm real honest with you, the things I stress and fret over mean nothing in the scope of eternity. I mean, how am I going to afford the payment of a $65,000 denali? Is that going to matter 10,000 years from now? My retirement account's not going to matter. My house isn't going to matter. None of it is going to matter. And God has been working on me to see everything in my life from the scope of eternity. What impact is this going to have on my eternity and those around me? What impact is it going to have on my eternal walk with Christ? See, most of us would probably agree that the vast majority of the things that you fret over every day and you stress over and bother you and you think about actually have nothing to do with eternity. How many people get completely stressed out at Christmas because they're trying to figure out not only what presents to get somebody, but how full can I make that look and how am I going to afford it? How many credit cards do I have to go through to load that thing up? That's what they're stressing over right now. But none of those presents are eternal. wants us to see everything through the lens of eternity. Mary discovered that even though it had been 400 years since anybody had heard anything, a peep from God, his promises are still eternal. They never end. Now, Mary knew she was a good Jewish girl, and she was raised in the synagogue, and she knew all about the promises of the Messiah. She knew all about the prophecies in the Old Testament. And so the events that Gabriel is explaining to Mary is not new to her. Gabriel's sharing everything that you'll read in Isaiah. There's nothing new to Mary that she's actually getting. The new part is, guess what? You're the one that's going to have it. There's the new part. But she knew that someday God would send the one to rule on David's throne. She knew that he would be born of a virgin. She knew that he would be born in Bethlehem. And she knew that his name would be called Emmanuel. She knew all that. She also knew about the centuries it had been since anybody had heard anything from God, and that none of the promises had both been fulfilled. And she also knew that there were many in the nation of Israel that thought maybe God had left them. Maybe God wasn't going to pull through on this. Maybe it wasn't going to actually happen. I think you can figure out that Mary's doubt disappeared pretty quickly when Gabriel showed up. She learned that no matter what, no matter how long, God's promises are always fulfilled. He always comes through. Every promise he gives us in Scripture is fulfilled. And so why do we look at the Old Testament and compare it to what happened in the New Testament? Because we can see the prophecies that are fulfilled from the old to the new. We can see the prophecies that are fulfilled to this day. Like in 1948, when Israel showed up out of nowhere, and the prophecy was that a nation will come about in a single day. And Israel did just that. That is to help encourage our faith in the promises and the prophecies that are to come still. Because if God can keep that promise, I mean, who else can create a nation in a single day? God alone. And so if he can keep that promise, he can keep any promise he gives us. Like the promise of believing in Jesus Christ. That when we believe in him, we do have eternity with him. We can grab onto that promise. See, we struggle with things when we feel like God is not doing them in our time. God says he'll take care of us, right? He'll provide for us. He doesn't promise you how he's going to do it. He doesn't promise you when he's going to do it. Other than God is always on time. Which is really hard to accept when you know you're staring down a gigantic bill. You're behind in your mortgage. You have no money to do it. You know no more is coming in. How am I going to do this? And it's only through God who comes through. But we can rely on that promise. He will come through. He will take care of us. He wants us to keep this in mind as we face the struggles of today. His promises never go away. And it should be a huge comfort to every person who believes in him. His promises will never change. They never disappear. And it goes right along with our previous point. When we fret over things that don't matter for eternity, his promise is we will be with him for eternity. And that can supersede everything else. Well, we see Mary have the normal response that I think any young girl, who she was probably no older than 16 at the time. They got married really young back then. So Mary was probably 15, 16, maybe 17 years old. How many of you remember being that age? I know Junior doesn't. That's way too long ago. And there she is. And what's her question in verse 34? How are you going to do that? Because I'm not breaking the law, and I haven't broken the law, and I've done what I'm supposed to, and there ain't no baby in my belly. What do we read? We read that Mary is confused. She just got dumped on with this angel that shows up and tells her, "You are highly favored by the Most High God." Twice. You're going to have the Son of God. You're going to bear a child of God. And he's going to reign forever. I just have one little question. How's that? Yeah, he tells her, the Holy Spirit, verse 35, is going to do the impossible. You will be overcome by the Holy Spirit. And you will bear this child. Now, I want you to pick up on something here, because in verse 36, he encourages Mary. I mean, just imagine the swirling going on in her brain of everything that's coming out right now. But in verse 36, he mentions her relative Elizabeth, who Mary knew could not have a child. She hadn't ever had one, no matter how badly she wanted it. And so Gabriel tells her, hey, the Holy Spirit's going to put that baby in you. Oh, by the way, Elizabeth is pregnant too. Huh? And I think Gabriel puts that in there to encourage her. God's already done something miraculous. Elizabeth is already pregnant. Even in her old age, when people... Everybody said there's no way she's going to ever have a baby now. She's already got it, so don't you worry about it. Because verse 37, the word of God will never fail. See, with God, all things are possible. And we hear that, and we sit in church, and we go, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, amen. At a girl. But do we really believe it? Do we really believe it down to our bones? Anything is possible with him. I mean, God's showing us he can conceive anything. Without our interference. Mary, you're going to have a baby. And there's nothing you can say about it. You're just going to have it. And it's going to show up in your belly. And you, nothing on this earth is going to do anything about it. Because I am the God of the universe. And I will do what I please and what is in my plan. And there isn't a single creature or being on the face of this earth that can stop it. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing a president can do. They all think they have power, but they really have nothing. Because everybody does everything that God has already ordained. He can do whatever he wants. See, what I want you to get from that is I want you to get it to your bones. I want you to rely on it. I want you to know that when you're facing down the craziest thing ever in your life, he's got it. Nothing is going to happen that he hasn't already ordained. It doesn't mean it's easy, and it doesn't mean you're going to like it. But our hope and comfort comes in knowing that he's got it. Right? What a faith-building thing. Okay, God, I have no idea how you're going to do it, but I know you will. But we want to remember we follow that up with what Jesus said in the garden. But not my will, your will. He may not choose to turn it out the way we want it to turn out. But he does have control of it. What we really find when Mary gets down to her discoveries here is that every one of her discoveries is demonstrated in the gospel. So God's plans are eternal. The cross is eternal. The action done on there lasts forever. 1 Peter 3, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. One time for all time. That was it. Peter left it right there. We all know Peter was kind of that brunt, in-your-face guy. He died once, forever. He doesn't have to keep dying. See, the nation of Israel had to continually sacrifice animals to cover their sins because the animals were not a good enough sacrifice. And so they had to continually do it. And if you read through the book of Exodus, you actually read that Aaron and all the priests had to continually sacrifice for themselves so they could go before God to sacrifice for everybody else. It was not a sustainable system. But Christ came and died once for all time. God's plans are eternal. God's promises are unfailing. The resurrection is a promise that never fails. 1 Corinthians 15, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Promises of the resurrection are forever. It doesn't matter if you died 3 years after Christ or 3,000 years after Christ. The power of the resurrection doesn't change. Is that the Chris Tomlin song, Resurrection Power? I have resurrection power. And third, God's power is unlimited. There is a new birth. His power is so unlimited that when we come to Christ, we are born new. What did Nicodemus say to Jesus? How in the world can I go back in my mother's womb and be born again? He goes, with man, that's not possible. But with God, anything is possible. 2 Corinthians 5 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Titus 3:5 tells the same thing. When you are forgiven through God's mercy, you are born anew. You are given a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. This is a personal thing for us. We can know Christ as our Savior. We can have salvation through the birth of that little baby. Because he can accomplish anything with us and through us. And so I want you to make Mary's discoveries personal. That you can know Christ as your Savior. You can know that he will and is able to do anything in your life and through your life. And that you can trust him to care for any problem and any struggle and any difficulty and any challenge that shows up in your life. There is nothing he can't handle. And Mary learned that from this point until the day she died. We think about her life. Started that as a teenager. And 33 years later, she watched her son die on a cross, only to walk out of the grave. You think that she's someone who understands that God can do anything? He offers us the same thing. Same power, same grace, the same discoveries. We just have to believe. Trust in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do trust in you. We do know that you can do anything. Father, I ask that you help all of us that struggle with getting that to our bones, that we do get it there. And I understand we may have to face difficult things to learn that. Help us to remember that your plans are eternal, they are forever. And that all you do in our life is to draw us closer to you and to bring glory to yourself so that others can know you as well. And so we relinquish our lives as individuals and we relinquish this church. And we give it to you to do with what you will and what you please. We just ask that you help us to glorify you in the midst of whatever it is. So that one day, we will be at your feet, singing praises to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand if you're able. We're going to sing He is Exalted. Psalm 113:4 says, "For the Lord is high above nations, his glory is higher than the heavens."
Exalted, the King is exalted on high. now receive this as your benediction. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I will show mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God for doing for us what we could never do for ourselves, and knowing that this is available to you, go in peace.